call to order. We look forward to Ray and Associates.
Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. Thank you. We'd just like to do a quick introduction of ourselves. My name is Steve Triplett. I am the Corporate Executive Director for Ray & Associates. I'm a longtime educator, 34 years in the educational field, recently retired as the superintendent of schools. I've been working in the search business for many years with Ray & Associates. We're very proud of our work, and we're thrilled to be here tonight presenting.
Good evening. My name is Anita Johnson. I'm the executive director of a national organization of school superintendents. My background is in human resources. I've been involved in education for over 30 years, and most of that time in the area of human resources, doing executive searches for both school districts, cities, and counties. And it's a pleasure to be here. I am a member of the Capistrano Unified School District community as well, and so is a special feeling about being here tonight.
Great. We appreciate your time this evening, and what we're going to try and do is right inside the packet that I laid in each of your places, there is a one-page sheet about addressing about all executive search firms are not the same. And I'm going to cover those topics with you first in this 10 minutes, and then we'll certainly be open to any questions that you might have. Ray & Associates is located in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. It's a national search firm that's been in place over 30 years. Mr. Ray started the company himself about 33 years ago. It's a national firm. We have an excellent reputation. We have a very large national recruiting network, and we feel that's a strength of our company. We have over 100 associates across the country, including California. We have a great diversity in our associates, from college professors to superintendents to other school personnel to many of the leadership positions in organizations such as AASA. Two of the former AASA presidents work for us. We are very strong in ALIS and NAPC and other national organizations. We feel that one of the things that we would want you to understand is we work for the board. We do not have a predetermined list of candidates. We recruit candidates that match your profile, and they can be both traditional and non-traditional. We're going to work in the development of that profile so that when we're recruiting someone that's going to be someone that's going to match your values, believe in high achievement for all students, and really have the strong emphasis on the students in this district. We always talk about that every student's important. There are 51,000 reasons why this is a really key decision for this board and how important it is to you and to us.
We think it's particularly important that we're able to find a superintendent for you who understands your vision and articulates that vision as a part of the team, so that the superintendent and board become a team with one voice and one way of articulating the mission of this school district and how you as the board, the elected officials, want to move this district forward.
One of the first major steps in that process is we really have the expertise to help you develop an accurate profile. We will work with the board to however you want to put that profile together. Many boards involve community members, parents, etc., and we are a strong proponent of that. And I think what kind of makes us unique, when we go out to talk to those groups, it is a conversation. It is not just a one-sided presentation. We're having a conversation with those parents and those patrons of the district so that we can really hear what's important to them as far as the characteristics of the next superintendent. We then put together a very specific report to the board that will give you that information in a very easy to read report in a way that you can see how in the development of that profile, how you incorporate the values of the board, and also what your patrons are telling you is important in the next superintendent.
I could say something about that. I spent a lot of time last week in Sacramento going through that process with the board, and later this week I'll be meeting with the Sacramento City Unified School District Board to finalize that profile. We had a number of groups. We had various chambers of commerce. We had parent groups. We had a group of about 13 representing the clergy and different faiths within the community. We had union representation. We had groups of administrators, and many groups of parents met all day in those discussions with two of our associates. And then each and every person involved, we also met with each board member individually, one-on-one, to gain information from them as to what they wanted the superintendent to be. And then each person who participated in the conversations, and they truly were conversations, filled out a survey form that Steve's staff back in Iowa is tabulating and mailing to me, so that I will be able to go and meet with the board, and they'll be able to see exactly which groups we met with. And by the way, the board determined who we were going to meet with. Each group we met with, the information that came from each group in terms of a very detailed notes from the meeting, and then the survey results, and then a compilation district-wide of those survey results that will help the board in making that profile.
Those individual board interviews are also key. Again, it's a conversation between our associates and individual board members that give us the background and help you develop a profile that is so important in selecting your next superintendent.
Yeah, I might just add one little note. That is, you know, when I started, I didn't know Sacramento City Unified School District very well, whereas I feel I know Capistrano to some degree. At the end of all of those interviews, I felt that I had such an understanding of that school district that's going to help so much as we get down the road and I'm interviewing people who have applied for the job. I think I really know that district and what the people there want. And of course, the board will guide me when they establish the final profile.
Okay. One of the things that we're very proud of is that we're going to very positively promote the Capistrano Unified District. We are very skilled at promoting districts across the country through our associates, through our webpage, through our contacts. And what that helps us do is to get an inordinate amount of completed files, people truly interested in your position. And I'm just going to cite this. We had two districts this year in the same metropolitan area in the Midwest, and they were such comparable districts. And the searches started at the same time. We were hired to do one, and another national firm was hired to do another. And the searches ended on the same day. And one search brought in 19 candidates, and we brought in 51. That is a huge difference for two very similar districts in the same area. So we feel very strong about our ability to bring you the top-notch candidates from around the country. Our success in California and also regionally and nationally, we are strong across the country. We've completed over 30 searches this year, ranging from Massachusetts to the Commissioner of Rhode Island, from Brevard County, Florida, to Kansas City, and recently Oakland. So our expertise and our background across the country is nationally known, and we're very proud of that. I think if anything really does set us apart, though, our screening process and our background checks are unparalleled. We feel they are as in-depth as any firm you will see anywhere in the country, and we're going to go above and beyond any listed references. We've never seen a bad reference listed, but we use our affiliations with all our national associations, our associates. We dig into people that candidates don't want us to chat with, and in fact, that's a question that we ask them. Tell me somebody that you don't want us to talk to right now, because I want to chat with that individual.
And you'll get a written report on each of those candidates.
So when we bring you semifinalists, let's say we bring you maybe 10, 11 semifinalists, you'll have a written confidential report based on everything that our associates found out about that candidate through a personal interview and the background check and reference check. So you'll have that to go on. Now, one of the things that's important for you to know, though, is you do see all files. When we would bring in the semifinalists to the board, we will have all files of every candidate who applied that would be available to you. So the board would have that. And so that's just really in case that if someone that you heard about, we don't have as a semifinalist and you want to know why, we'll have that file available to you and can go through that. But we really feel it's important that this is the board search. So, again, that's a little different. We're going to bring you all the top candidates that we think meet the profile. If we only bring you four or five, then it's really our search. We've made that determination. But if we bring you all of the top candidates that we think meet that profile and then help you gain consensus on who you want to interview, then it's the board search and it's the community search. So we feel very strong about that. We have a very objective consensus-building process to help you determine who you might want to interview, and as well as that in making the final selection. And I will tell you that, again, we're very pleased with that process. We just finished two very large districts, and both were unanimous votes in maybe communities where that had not been the norm. I'll just put it that way. And so we were very, very pleased with those results. Capistrano Unified District has a lot of potential, and we always look at this as a new beginning. When you're hiring new leadership, it's a new beginning for your district, and we'd like to work with you in helping you reach that full potential so that every child can succeed. And we're very confident of our process. We do offer a two-year guarantee, and I will tell you we were the first firm in the industry to put that out there. It has been others now do it, but we're the first one. So if anything would happen within 2 years, whether through the initiation of the board or the initiation of the candidate, we will come back and redo the search for no cost except expenses. So we're really excited. We've had some recent success in California, and we're really interested in taking another step forward. And our firm is well prepared to assist you in that superintendent search. Anything else, Nita? We're open to questions.
Any questions by the board? Trustee Bryson. You were talking about confidential, and we discussed this once before this evening. In your research that you do, and you said you spoke to the people who would give you maybe not the best impression as well as those who would rave about the candidate. In that search, do you bring forward everything you find in, say, a legal search or every other kind of search, Brown Act concerns, everything else? Those would all be covered in that?
If there are any concerns with the candidate, that's going to be in that confidential report. We're not going to gloss over anything. You need to know if there are concerns. A superintendency is not an easy job, and there are ups and downs in this position, and there are going to be positives and negatives that have happened to a candidate over the years. We feel as long as we bring you those top quality candidates that meet your profile, we need to be very upfront and open with you about anything in their past that you may need to know as far as in that hiring process. So that will be in that report.
And it was also mentioned that a firm might be able to bring us candidates who are not actually openly candidates. Do you also pursue that avenue?
We recruit nationally. That is, again, all of our associations. One of the things that we're very pleased with, I mentioned the national associations. We are a firm that is recognized and has a strong relationship with all of those national associations. So all those people know the top people in the country. So when we would put this out, the Capistrano Unified District is now looking for a superintendent, Our first notice goes to all of our associates and all of our contacts across the country saying, you know, be alert, we're developing the profile with the district, but start looking for those top leaders across the country that you think might be a good candidate, because we want to be in contact with them and actively recruit them.
Both traditional and non-traditional. Actually, I called someone today who probably had, he's not a former superintendent, an incredible leader who probably had no idea that he might be interested in the job that I thought he would be a good match for. And I spoke with him for probably 30 minutes, and he's promised to call me back within 2 days to let me know whether he would be interested in pursuing the position that I was discussing with him. So, and he has never applied for a superintendency in his life. So we recruit through all kinds of media and advertising, through our contacts with the associations, our associates. By the way, some of our associates are HR people, executives from the private sector. So they're recruiting as well. And then we, of course, have an online application process where anyone can come and say, I'm interested in the job, and fill out an application, submit their resume, and submit letters of reference. So we've got a lot of different approaches to recruiting.
I have a last question,
sure.
May I? Because you are a resident of San Juan Capistrano, I understand. As someone who has observed our community here and the things that have occurred with this board, before this board, and at this time, what would your insight be to us that you think at this time we might need to consider in the quality of superintendent?
Well, I think what's most important is that we ask the community and we ask each board member what it is that they feel will create a successful situation with the chief executive officer for this school district. And then it's our job to go out and find that. And I will promise you that in this process, I will not put my opinion into the process anymore here than I would in Oakland or Brevard County or any other place, because as a professional, it's my job to find what you're looking for. Am I going to care maybe a little more? I think maybe I'll care a little bit more, and it's going to be easier for me to get to meetings here than when I have to go up to Sacramento later this week. But this is your search and your superintendent, and I'm just one member of the community. I happen to also be a professional in human resources, and I'm going to do the most outstanding job for you that I can do. I only work with Ray and Associates because I saw a huge need in California for someone to do professional level work for school districts, and I wasn't seeing it, and I talked to Gary Ray. I had him come and meet with me before I was willing to become affiliated with Ray and Associates. And I have to tell you, no one that I've ever seen, you know, I've worked with some other firms and walked away because I couldn't put my name with them. The thoroughness of what Ray and Associates does is what makes me want to be a part of it.
Thank you.
And certainly I'd like to see my community have that.
One other point on that. When we talked about the depth and the number of candidates that we're able to attract, one of the reasons, Director Bryson, is that the candidates know it's going to be an open and objective process. They know that there are no predetermined and no favorites for any position, because every district is new, different, and has different needs. And so we have to go look for those people who really meet those needs of that district and then recruit them to that position. And, you know, candidates talk to us all the time, I don't understand, I was a candidate for District A, but I'm not a candidate for District B. Why? How can that be? I'm a very qualified individual. But if they don't meet the profile, if they don't have the skills that district's looking for, they aren't a good match, and that's what we need to do and work very hard at.
Trustee Winston.
Hi. I've been reading a little bit online about your search for Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations.
I was involved in that one.
That's a pretty tough community and tough school district, I'm sure. What I found very interesting from the articles that came out at the end of last week were that the final three candidates, at least on the internet, black and white, seem very different from each other. And how is it that you can go through a process with the same people and come down to three very different candidates? I'd be interested to hear your perspective on that.
I'd love to answer that question. I'm going to answer it regarding two of the candidates that I know best. The third candidate, I didn't do the reference check on, and I don't know that candidate personally as well. But I'm going to take the top two candidates. They aren't as different as you might think looking in the media. They are both people who are passionate about kids. They are both people who have had great success bringing communities together for the benefit of children. Both of them have worked in highly racially charged organizations, and both have been able to work in that environment very successfully and work toward greater equity, which is something Oakland wanted. I think they are very similar. One has more experience than the other. One has a law enforcement background and the other doesn't. One lives in the community and one lives here in Southern California. But I think I can make that also tie into another answer, and that is that the candidates for Oakland, I am almost 100% certain, would not be a good match for the profile that you want here. And they are both outstanding individuals. I did the reference check. I know one of them well. I did the reference check on the other. Incredibly talented people, but I have a feeling that they're not going to match the particular profile that you're most likely to come up with.
Oh, I'm certain of that. I just found it interesting that the same groups of people engaging in the same process, and maybe your answer is right. They're not as different as they appeared.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think, Mr. Winston, on that point, sometimes in those individual conversations with the boards and with the community members, you will hear some key points about things that are just essential. And in that case, a unifier was absolutely a key component. So some of those individuals definitely had that cross characteristic of being able to bring communities together under a common goal. And so that certainly was one reason they were in that final group.
At what point in that process did the names of the slate become known publicly?
After the board had interviewed the group that were what we refer to as the semifinalists.
The final three?
They identified three top candidates. That was when it became public information, was who were the top three candidates. Then those top three candidates were interviewed in a community setting. And then after that, the board re-interviewed the top candidates and selected the person that they wanted to hire.
As far as the process goes, we're very flexible, and we will work with the needs of the board on that. Boards do it differently. You know, some will bring in that initial group for a first-round interview, and then get to the finalists and make that their public group. You know, some are more open, and we'll say all five. If we interview five, those would be open. But that's up to the board how you want to move along that process.
Sacramento, for example, has not yet made those decisions. They will start making those decisions when I meet with them on Thursday night. We haven't talked about, the community's had input in building the profile. We haven't determined how the rest of the process will be conducted in Sacramento yet. So it really is up to each board. One of the things that we always tell boards, and we will later if we do this search, is that the sooner information is going to become public, that will limit the number, the candidates who will apply, because it sometimes damages their position in their current school district. So until they're a finalist, most people, whether they're in a private organization or a public information, would, even though they've told their board, don't want the whole community to know that they're looking at another job. By the way, both of the top two candidates in Oakland were recruited for the job, too. You know, we worked to get them involved in that process.
What has your collective experience been on so-called non-traditional candidates, if any?
Well, it was a non-traditional candidate that I spoke with today, because one of the things Sacramento has said is we would be interested in having some non-traditional candidates in the pool. I feel comfortable saying that because it's been spoken in public meetings, and that was one of the things I was on the phone doing today was recruiting somebody who I think is someone that I would be so thrilled to be able to have be a part of their candidate pool. But we have a lot of experience recruiting non-traditional and traditional candidates. And actually, I had one candidate who has both. He has been a management-level person with Xerox. He's been a superintendent in two districts, highly successful. And he was another candidate I was trying to recruit.
We have placed two, just right off the top, Mr. Winston, two very large districts we have placed non-traditional candidates at in the last year. So we certainly have that experience.
Where are they?
Memphis and Guilford County. So two very large districts.
Trustee Bryson, what is your percentage rate of success past a few years? For example, we've heard other firms had 85% of their people still in place after 10 years as superintendents. Do you have a statistic that you can share with us?
What we're most proud of is our average tenure right now is just under 8 years of our placement. So, and again, you know, that varies across the country because you may have someone stay three and move. You know, we had a candidate hired away by the Bill Gates from a district after a couple years, and it was, you know, really a crushing thing to us because he was doing an outstanding job in that district, but that happens.
I don't know if you know that the national average is under 3 years.
So, yeah. So we're very proud of our tenure.
And how many times have we done a followed up on the guarantee in 33 years?
I think less than three times.
And Bill Gates ruined one of those for us. No. Yes, he paid the candidate well. Yes.
And what is your timeline on this for this process?
That's something we work with the board. We included a timeline in the proposal that you received, you know, and that was more a traditional timeline over 2 to 3 month period. We work with the boards on the timelines as needed because, you know, we are in situations sometimes where boards ask us to move that process along, and we try to work with that.
I might mention that Sacramento's total timeline from the first meeting until the end is probably not more than 45 days because they really wanted an expedited process. That's why I was on the phone talking to people today before the profile is finished, hoping that it'll work, but just knowing that the board's going to determine that profile Thursday, and there are exactly 2 weeks for us to get the candidates. So I'm a little anxious.
But again, that's where having a national reputation really helps. We are able to go out and get that word out nationally. and work with candidates to encourage them to take a look at the district and see how that fits from there.
You know, and something we didn't mention that I think is so important, and that is that we really have an office and we have people who work there, so that when the folks in Sacramento finished all of the input, the board members and everyone, we were able to overnight that to the office. Today is the only work day that they have to put everything together and overnight mail it to me so that I can fly to Sacramento on Thursday. And not many firms have that kind of internal capacity. When we met with Sacramento, there was a CSBA meeting coming up. It must have been a regional area meeting. And they wanted something to give out. So without a profile, we just put together a little announcement flyer. We actually called it into the office, left a message that night. The office staff put it together. The board president had it the next morning to review. And then it was there with any edits so that it could be printed out in Sacramento and the board members could take it to their meeting. So that capacity to serve you, even on the shortest of notice, I think is an important thing that we can do that most firms can't do. By the way, the ladies in the office and Steve, he's one of the people in the office there too, but I don't talk to him as much. The ladies in the office do a phenomenal job.
If you'll notice in the packet, it says that there is a trained staff available. I think it says highly trained. They made sure that got in there, by the way. They are, but they have a lot of experience.
They're good.
And they understand the search process as well.
Thank you. Any other comments? Thank you so much for joining us this evening. That concludes.
Do you have a timeline for a decision as far as the board?
We do need to talk about that. Thank you. Yes, please. I'd love it. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your time, and we would really love the opportunity to work with you in the future.
Thank you for coming in this evening.
You bet.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you. We do have one blue card on this, Mr. Larkin, Frank Larkin.
Good evening, trustees. Before I get started, I just wanted to bring this packet of hot sauce for Mr. Mannix for his peanuts. So I'll give you this later. You know, actually, I'm a one-man search firm. This past weekend, I played in the Marine Corps handball tournament. And in dealing with some of the generals and people that we played with, I was just amazed at the people skills that they have and the fact that several of them have been in education. And then I started to think, when that first group was up here, that's what we had in Superintendent Carter. So as a one-man search firm, I think you ought to bring him back, because it's costing something like $50,000 a month to negotiate with the superintendent. So in the last 4 months, he spent over $200,000. And then when you add to the fact that just recently there was a promotion for educational resource or Pacific resource, and that's one of Mr. Winston's group that won a lawsuit against the district and actually extorted over $350,000 from this district. So that firm actually paid for, out of our school funds, $350,000, and part of that money went to this party at the Ritz at the St. Regis Hotel. hotel. And that's disgusting, because that's my money, and that money could have been used easily for this search firm, which is probably about $30,000 or $40,000. Mr. Winston could pay that back with the money that he took from the school district, because that lawsuit was thrown out and he didn't return that money. And I'd like to see that money returned before he votes on anything in this district. And if you, as trustees, follow through, then we'll see that you are doing the right job for the community, and that you guys are not bipolar like the Lakers are, but at least you'll know, and these search firms will know exactly how you feel, and that you can honor what the community needs is that money back. And he is one of your trustees, so get that money as soon as you can. Thank you.
That concludes item number one on the agenda. We move forward to item number two, reinstatement of Board Policy 1240, Volunteer Assistance. This was brought last month, and we chose to add the administrative regs to the board policy.
So in an effort to tighten our board policies, we went back to incorporate the AR into the board policy as you requested, specifically outlining that we would have a two-tiered system, which basically equates to supervised versus unsupervised volunteers. Volunteers that are unsupervised just require the basic Megan's Law check and acknowledgement of our volunteer handbook. And volunteers that may have or that have unsupervised contact with students do need to have the full fingerprint clearance. And with that, I would like to entertain any questions that you might have.
Any comments or questions? Do we have a motion to approve? We have a second?
I second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries 7-0 to reinstate the Board Policy 1240, Volunteer Assistance. Item number three is a contract issue, employment contract, Interim Deputy Superintendent, Personnel Services. We do have a blue card on it, Ms. Navarro.
Good evening. My name is Eileen Navarro, and I'm here to speak about the employment contract for Interim Deputy Superintendent. First, why can't you find an interim and promote within our dedicated, talented employees? You can save the expected $14,000 a month and hire back a classified employee. I understand you are planning to hire later on this evening an attorney to deal with negotiations. CSEA is offended by hiring an outside attorney when you can rehire classified employees. An attorney's estimation of $180 or $200 an hour, and at the same time we have no money for classified employees? Please, do this for the children. Classified employees make a difference in the education of all of our students. It's very disheartening to see classified jobs eliminated board meeting. Thank you.
Those are the only cards we have. That's the only card we have on this item. We are looking now for present the item to the board. I'm presenting the contract. Do I have a motion to approve?
I so move.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Is that 6-1?
Did register my vote as a no on this one.
So is this 5? Raise your hand if you're yes.
A yes.
Raise your hand on yes. Raise your hand on no. Okay, 4-3. Item number 4, reinstatement of program services management personnel. Ms. Lovely?
Yes, trustees. Thank you, President Adonisio. This item before you tonight is asking trustees to consider the reinstatement of some of the management positions to be able to provide a minimum level of service in continuing the district operations. Trustees, you know, back in March, there were, I think, 62.7 certificated management positions that were eliminated from the budget based on prospective and potential budget reductions, and we did issue all the certificated managers in this building layoff notices with the understanding that we would need to reinstate some of these positions as we got a clearer budget picture. So this item tonight before you that's seeking to reinstate 15 FTE is essentially, again, being able to provide a minimum level of service here at the district office in within each department, and then also looking to reinstate positions at the school site relative to high school activities directors, the principal of adult education, and community education's assistant principal. All these positions were factored into the original budget that the board last saw on April 13th. And are in the budget that will come before you at the end of June to approve, barring any other changes. So with that, I'm available for questions, and we seek your approval.
One moment. Motion by Bryson. Do we have... Second by Trustee Brick. We do have some blue cards on this item. Mr. Ken Jensen, followed by Ms. Julie Collier and Darla O'Leary. Mr. Jensen.
Thank you, ma'am. Madam President, Mr. Lopez-Maddox, congratulations on that. I completely agree with the idea of bringing people back. Bringing them back is always a good thing. They're fathers and they're mothers and they're spouses and they have children. And I'm certain that for the last 3 months they've been nervous about whether they would have a job. You recall we met here recently, just a couple weeks ago, about where the money was. Mr. Maddox, Mr. Winston, and the President all were asking questions later on, you know, where did that money come from? Is there any money left over? Nope, it's all in the budget. You signed this budget in April. This is what it is. If you try and keep those classified employees one more month, where are you going to find the money? Mr. Winston was that when they were going to get rid of those teachers, it was that last-ditch effort on the teachers. Are you sure you can't find any money? Are you sure you can't find something somewhere? Nope, you signed off on it. We're done. That's what I'm here about. I think you should bring back your managers. We need them. You've gotten rid of the two upper managers above me, so I have no one to talk to. So I'd appreciate it if you would install these people, because we do need to have the business of the district getting done. What I want to know is, where's the rest of the money? We talked about money last time I was up here. How about $2.1 million? Anybody remember that from a budget item just a couple months ago? That's what it takes to move the entire classified staff ahead 1 year. The entire staff, all 1,700, $2.1 million was all it took. Didn't have it. Couldn't find it. Nope, it's not here. Not there. We asked for some severance pay. Could you please take these 4 score people that you're getting rid of or hurting or adjusting or reevaluating or reducing their hours? Could you give them some severance pay? You know what they did? They did that. They literally turned their pocket inside out and said, "We're sorry, Mr. Jensen, we're broke. We can't provide anything for those people. They just have to do the best they can. We'll extend their benefits a certain amount of time as required by law, but other than that, where are we going to get the money?" They were down in a room just down here 30, 40 minutes ago, and we sat there and looked at them going, "Well, these are your options. You can go get unemployment. You can do this. You can do that." There was no severance pay. There was no bargaining the effects of the layoff. Where is the rest of the money? You can find $2.3 million. I'm certain that that's more than what it took for those classified reductions. We never did find out that number. No one's ever come forward and said, "This is how much money we're saving by reducing the classified staff." I understand that none of their programs were being cut. I got that. I understood that from the board item. And I wholeheartedly want them back. I want anybody back that you're willing to bring back. But where is the rest of the money? It's got to be out there somewhere. If you can find $2.3 million, I challenge you to find $500,000. That's what we've spent in overtime to date so far. It's got to still be out there. It really does. If you can bring back $2.3 million, please try and find some money for these people that have been disassociated from the district. Thank you very much for your time.
Ms. Collier.
It's disheartening to see that the reinstatement of district-level jobs are being considered before the reinstatement of teachers' jobs. Ms. Lovely, most parents would disagree with your idea that these district-level jobs are a necessity to maintain a level of service to our schools and communities. Most parents believe the $2.3 million it would take to pay for these district-level jobs is money that could be best spent to keep teachers' jobs. We believe a better service to the community, teachers, and most importantly, the students of this district would be to restore smaller class sizes. As you may not know, CUSD at this point is the only school district in Orange, LA, and San Diego counties that is not keeping some form of CSR. Interestingly, two of the positions being suggested for reinstatement are principal and assistant principal of the adult and community education. These positions should be paid for with adult and community education funds, not the general fund. If that is not possible, then these positions can be paid for using part of the $2 million from the adult education reserves. Please do not reinstate these positions using general ed money. Some exceptions should be considered. Activities directors are a necessity. However, hiring 3 activities directors instead of 6 might provide a better financial outcome. Likewise, the district needs a communication director. We can all agree Mrs. Hatchell has done a wonderful job. Trustees, we ask that you request the district administrators to provide a detailed assessment of each position being considered for reinstatement and ask the following questions. First, how many other people are in this department? Can the department be assumed into a related department with the current department head? And how can departments best be consolidated? The educational needs of the students in this district are paramount. The needs at the district level are secondary. Students are not going to notice what Director 6 of a random department is doing at this district office. Students will notice larger class sizes and beloved teachers missing from their schools. Please continue to be a school district that focuses on the students.
Ms. O'Leary.
Good evening. My name is Darla O'Leary. I come today very concerned about the number of administrative layoffs our district is facing. As a longtime employee of this district, I have witnessed the positive impact these talented people have had on our district. They support our dedicated teachers and take every opportunity to celebrate the success of our students. I wonder who will be around to fill their role next year. I'm especially concerned about this because on Wednesday night, when the trustees had the opportunity to participate in celebrating the success of our students, they chose instead to attend a very controversial debut of a documentary. The obvious intention of this documentary is to rub salt in the gaping wounds our district has incurred in recent years. In order to heal these wounds, we must focus on the positive aspects of our district. There is a lot of good success happening in our district. I see it every day in the classrooms of dedicated, talented, hardworking teachers, and I invite each of you to come into our classrooms and experience all that is right with this district. And I ask that that you reconsider the termination of these very important district administrators who support our efforts in the classroom. And by the way, my invitation's only open until June 18th because I am riffed.
Any comments by the board? Mr. Lopez Maddox.
There's four of these positions I have some questions about. I'm just to read them off. It's the Executive Director 2, Elementary Support, Director 6, Educational Technology and High School Activities Directors, and Community Education Assistant Principals. I'm prepared to go ahead and move on this item if we could separate out those four items. Then I'm going to vote no on the current motion, simply because these four items I would like to have further discussion on them, unless somebody would like to withdraw their motion and accept a substitute motion, simply because those four positions I'd like to get more information on perhaps for the next board meeting justifying their reinstatement as opposed to faculty or some other positions.
I will withdraw my motion. There was a second thought.
Someone reversing their, withdrawing their second?
Yeah.
You'll withdraw your second? So the substitute motion is removing which positions, Mr.?
That's fine. You've added.
Tell me one more time.
It's easier on you.
That's all right.
Executive Director 2, Elementary Support.
All right.
The Director 6, Educational Technology.
All right.
High School Activities Directors.
All right.
And the Community Education Assistant Principal. I'd like to go and get more information at the next meeting justifying those reinstatements.
I'm happy to speak to those now, Trustee Lopez Maddox, if you'd like me to, or President Adonisio.
Shall we address them now?
Okay.
It was lovely.
The executive, each of these, what we looked at was the having essentially someone in the department that would be the division head or the division leader of the department. Right now at the elementary level, there are two executive director twos of elementary support. This is recommending bringing one individual back so that this person has oversight of all the elementary schools, all the elementary principals report to this person. The position of Director 6 of Educational Technology, with the board's acceptance of Scott Sexsmith's resignation last month as the Chief Information Officer, there is no division leader in that department. This position is the next, would be the next in command. This is Susan Holliday's position and would have somebody then having oversight of the technology department. And Mr. Sexsmith's former position of Chief Communications Officer was a reduction in the budget and is not being reinstated. The Chief Information Officer, not the Chief Communications Officer. Let's not get those two confused. I apologize, Ms. Satchel. The position of the Principal of Adult and Community Education is with the board's acceptance of the board, but the budget to retain adult education programs, scaling back certainly, but the budget is still to continue to offer the services. We're not sure if the adult ed principal is paid primarily out of the adult education funding or out of the general fund, but we could find that out. But there needs to be a principal of the adult school. That is a requirement by law, and you cannot combine the adult school principal with the continuation school principal. Then the final position there, Trustee Lopez Maddox, is the community education assistant principal as well. Adult education has many programs and many things going on, including community ed. Many of these functions are at night. There has been an assistant principal at the adult education school for many years. This would be reinstating this position. This is a high school assistant principal position. The board did not take action to eliminate any other high school assistant principal positions, so this is one position out there that we are recommending to retain.
Both
both of those positions are funded through adult ed and community ed. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay.
So they're not general fund.
Not fantastic news. I just, one more follow-up. On the high school activities directors, can you go into that a little bit more about what exactly they do?
I can try. They do a lot. The high school activities directors primarily oversee all of the activities that go on at our high schools, which are numerous, and from anything to homecoming events. They plan graduation. They teach a class of ASB, so they actually oversee the student government class. They usually teach at least one period. Any of the high school, the dances, the proms, the events that occur during the week where they have contests at school, everything that essentially forms the core of a high school, that and they support the athletics in a way as well, because they will, although they're not part of the athletic program, they will facilitate events like pep rallies to prepare for the athletic events. And so the activities director is the teacher in charge, if you will, of those activities. In some school districts, the activities director is a teacher on special assignment, not part of the administrative ranks, but in our district, it is an entry-level administrative position, and some of these folks do springboard up and apply for assistant principal positions, and this position prepares them well for that. They do see, they take on some, sometimes assist with discipline. They also supervise teachers, since they are administrators, so they have a small group of teachers that they're responsible for evaluating and supporting at each of the high schools.
If I may, just one more follow-up. Do you see their positions expanding, perhaps, in light of all the other reductions?
They certainly could. At the high school level right now, the reductions primarily are in, I know there's some reductions in some of the assistant coaching programs, which I don't see the activities directors necessarily having to oversee those. And then, you know, certainly if class size is raised, that would potentially be a factor in adding to their job, whether there's more discipline in a classroom or some of the fallout that might occur there. But there aren't other positions recommended to be eliminated at the high school level necessarily.
I'm sorry, what was the motion, Trustee Bryson?
I move that we pass the original motion as originally stated after the clarification.
I'll second it.
Motion made by Trustee Bryson, seconded by Trustee Burke. Any further, Trustee Christensen?
When I first looked at the names in the offices of these particular departments, it appeared that without these individuals, the departments would be essentially non-functional or non-existent, and that, you know, we can't just eliminate a particular function of the whole school. And so is that not correct?
That is correct, and while we would also love to be before you tonight recommending that we would bring back other positions, unfortunately those other positions that we might bring back would not be able to manage or oversee or have the responsibility for these, for the departmental functions, so that is correct.
Thank you.
Trustee Winston?
Can I get some clarification on the budget process? We've got two potential meetings in June. Is it going to be June 8th, or you're going to bring back the next round of budget decisions?
On June 8th, we plan to present you with the preliminary budget, basically the shell budget, and then on June 22nd, then the full budget for adoption.
Can you clarify what you mean by the shell budget?
I think typically in the past you have gone through a process of kind of combing through things, and what this year we were planning to do was basically try to get the budget itself put together, bring you the budget itself in draft form on the 8th.
And that will include a proposed allocation of the federal money?
I believe the county office is wanting us to include the federal money within that. That is correct.
Okay. So this decision tonight is going to be subject to further fine-tuning and refinement on the 8th and 22nd, if not thereafter.
It could be if the board so chose to do that. These positions are included in the budget. The only positions that have been eliminated out of the budget are the ones that are included in the $25 million in cuts that the board has identified.
Right, but not counting allocating the federal money that we have to allocate.
Not all of the federal money will be coming this year, just a certain portion of it. And in allocating the spending of that money, we have not gone through that process yet, but the receipt of the money will be booked this year.
Will we be discussing the allocation of that on the 8th and 22nd?
We can do that, yes.
Are you planning to do that?
I am now. One of the problems with the federal money is we do not have a clear set of guidelines. We do not have a clear set of reporting requirements. We don't even have, I think, clarity on exactly when the money's coming. I'm looking over here to my staff. We don't know when the money's coming for sure or in what amounts it's coming, if it will come within this fiscal year. But if it is slated to come in the fiscal year, then we would book it. There is an enormous amount of ambiguity still surrounding the federal dollars. And as time has kind of rolled on here in the last couple of weeks, we've become even less certain of what we're going to get and when it's supposed to come.
I used to like talking to you.
I can't really offer you anything solid because we don't have anything solid to offer you on when the money's coming or exactly how much it will be.
Okay, thank you.
Trustee Bryson.
I think it's very clear from what the state is looking at now that regardless of the federal money coming or going or coming in one door and going out another door, that this district is going to face a very large round of additional cuts on top of everything we're discussing this evening, on top of everything we've projected. Because the reality is, the projections that I'm seeing are very difficult indeed. And we all must understand that we're going to continue down a very constrained, sacrificing, and demanding road. And there is no end to it in sight. From what I'm looking at, there is no end to it. So we have to temper any enthusiasms for money coming in when we're looking at a potential, maybe another $30 million to be cut going forward. And I was discussing with Ron today all the indicators that I'm seeing, and they are very grave. So I continue to say, our ship has to be battened down. There's a lot more storm water ahead.
Trustee Winston.
Since you have nothing but ambiguity about the federal money, is there anything other than ambiguity about this additional round of state budget cuts?
From the numbers that we've been reviewing, it looks as though, let's just talk federal unrestricted money, for lack of a better way to categorize it, the fiscal stabilization money. I think we're going to be looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $13 million coming to the district if it all flows through to us, and I say if. What we're looking at in terms of cuts at the state level, from what we've been able to quantify, and that was before the failure of the propositions, and the numbers they were projecting at that point was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $11 to $12 million cuts flowing to CUSD. Now, none of this is finalized. None of it has been quantified. Those are just rough estimates. So, what I think is going to happen, if we look into our kind of our crystal ball here, is that whatever federal money we get is going to end up just about offsetting whatever the state comes up with in terms of cuts. Maybe a little bit of difference between the two, but also keeping in mind that we have very little, if any, margin within our budget above and beyond our 2% reserve. So if I could quantify anything, it's that we're going to have more state cuts, and I think they will approximate about what we get in terms of federal unrestricted dollars out of the stabilization money.
In light of the props going down on May 19th, have you heard of any further news from Sacramento about the governor calling a special session or anything like that?
I have not personally heard of that, nor have I read any bulletins that were updating anything specific. But the state has a lot of work to do in a very short period of time, and I believe the governor's May revision is due out this week, and that staff is planning to attend the school services workshop, which quantifies the state budget in terms of education, and from there, next week we'll have a much better picture of what the governor's proposing, but specifics have not been released other than just kind of the rough numbers that they released before the election.
Once you figure it all out, will you post updates on the district website so interested members of the public can know what you know?
We will do that. Thank you for that reminder. We've been trying to keep things updated. We had another update that went up on Friday. As we get information, we're trying to put that up there to keep the public informed.
Thank you.
Trustee Bryson.
I would like to publicly thank Ron for a notation in our board update where he reiterated something that all of us have felt very strongly for 2 3/4 years now, that we needed to protect our 2% margin of savings there and grow it, because if you go below 2%, ladies and gentlemen, you are dealing with the potential takeover of a district. You are undermining the fiscal stability of the district. You are endangering the district. So we cannot drill to the bottom of the well. We have to stop, and we have to work with Ron and his staff to make sure to keep our goal of increasing that, even in these terrible times, because that's the margin that will keep the district financially stable and financially safe. And we must keep that in mind. And I thank Ron quietly this morning, and I thank him publicly for keeping his eye on a critical ball that will keep us stable.
There's a motion and a second on the table. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The motion carries 7-0 to reinstate, as recommended by management, the 15 positions. We recess now to close
Madam
session.
Madam President, before you recess, I just have a question.
Yes.
Perhaps staff can help me on this. When I was driving down PCH on Monday, I wasn't really watching the bus yard that closely, but according to my eye, did I see a banner saying we're hiring bus drivers?
I just heard that myself. I just talked to Jim Hetrick this afternoon, and he asked me about that, and that was the first I had heard of that. So we need to check that out, because we have bus drivers on our layoff list.
Yeah, that was
my
thoughts.
I'm not sure where that banner appeared from, and I know Mr. Patton, I believe, is on vacation this week, but that's on my list to call tomorrow, and I couldn't believe it myself.
I thought it strange. Thank you.
Trustee Palazzo, did you have a comment?
Oh, no. I'm sorry, no.
Any other comments by trustees? Motion to recess. We're recessed. Thank you.